भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
महाराज परीक्षित and Shukadeva Goswami were serious performers of the first two important items, namely the process of chanting and the process of hearing, and therefore both of them were successful in their laudable attempt. Transcendental realization is attained by such serious hearing and chanting, and not otherwise. There is a type of spiritual master and disciple much advertised in this age of Kali. It is said that the master injects spiritual force into the disciple by an electrical current generated by the master, and the disciple begins to feel the shock. He becomes unconscious and the master weeps for his exhausting his store of so-called spiritual assets. Such bogus advertisement is going on in this age, and the poor common man is becoming the victim of such advertisement. We do not find such folk tales and the dealings of Sukadeva Goswami and his great disciple Maharaj Parikshit. The sage recited Srimad Bhagavatam in devotion, and the great king heard him properly. The king did not feel any shock of electrical current from the master, nor did he become unconscious while receiving knowledge from the master. One should not therefore become a victim of these unauthorized advertisements made by some bogus representative of Vedic knowledge. The sages of Naimisharanya were very respectful in hearing about Maharaj Parikshit because of his receiving knowledge from Shukadeva Goswami by means of ardent hearing. Ardent hearing from the bona fide master is the only way to receive transcendental knowledge, and there is no need for medical performances or occult mysticism for miraculous effects. The process is simple, but only the sincere party can achieve the desired result.
Amagyanatimarandasya gyananjana surakaya chaksa unnihitam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha mukam karoti vachalam bhangam nangayate gari yatripatam ahamade shri gurandimitam.
So this is the sage Shanakarishi addressing Sutta Goswami in the forest of Naimisharanya. They are asking Sutta Goswami to please speak about Maharaj Parikshit, to whom Sukadeva Goswami imparted transcendental knowledge. They were very interested in hearing about Maharaj Parikshit because he was an unalloyed devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And they wanted to hear from somebody who was qualified to speak about his activities. Sutta Goswami was certainly a qualified speaker. And the sages headed by Sanaka Rishi were certainly qualified hearers. And therefore, because both were qualified, the transmission of transcendental knowledge was able to take place. Transmission of transcendental knowledge means that the speaker must be qualified to speak and the hearer must be qualified to hear. And the qualification of hearing is described here is that one is very enthusiastic to hear. Srila Prabhupada once used the example that hearing means to act. Otherwise, it is simply some vibration in the ear. But if one actually hears transcendental knowledge, the result of authorized transmission of transcendental knowledge is that a gradual cleansing process takes place. The heart becomes clean from all material attachments. This is the way of imparting transcendental knowledge. Srila Prabhupada has cautioned here in this purport that one should not entertain such a false idea about spiritual science as the example that is given here. Oftentimes we are looking for mystical activities or certain miracles to try to determine the authenticity of the spiritual science. One time, Srila Prabhupada was being interviewed by a journalist. And he was surrounded by many of his disciples. And the journalist was asking Srila Prabhupada if he was capable of performing miracles. And Prabhupada said, yes. And he waved his hand across the room. And everybody was waiting to see what was about to happen. And he said, this is my miracle. My miracle is that these young boys and girls were previously addicted to so many sinful habits. But now, having heard about Krishna, they have become bright-faced. They've become happy. They've given up their sinful activities. And they're becoming lovers of God. He said, that is my miracle. He said, I simply told them about Krishna. I did not have to do anything else. So Srila Prabhupada was explaining to this journalist that this is what one should see as the actual miracle. How is it possible that such people would be able to change their lives so drastically? Although their lives were heading on a course to degradation, and they would become increasingly implicated in their sinful activities. Simply by speaking the message of Krishna, these young people have changed the whole course of their lives. And instead of leading to degradation, now they are going back to Godhead. Isn't that a miracle? Can you do it? This is what Srila Prabhupada was, this was his position. Many, many people can introduce some other kinds of false methods of spiritual advancement. methods of spiritual advancement, such as the example given here, that one so-called spiritual master claims that he gave his knowledge to his disciple. Like an electrical current into his forehead. And then he fell on the ground weeping. And said, "Now all my knowledge is gone, I've given it to you." And people believe that this is the method for transmission of knowledge. Because they're looking for something mystical. They're looking for something cheap. It's like in India, there are many people who can perform mystical acts. There are many renunciants who perform very severe austerities. And as a result of their austerities, they can perform different siddhis. And people think this is spiritual. But it is not. It is material. It's like it is described, Prabhupada describes an act of devotion. That someone may perform great austerities and develop a mystic city of being able to walk, float on the water. But you can do the same thing by stepping on a boat. What is the value of floating on the water? The boat can also float on the water. So it is simply some material activity. These mystic cities are not actually spiritual. Yet people see that there are some of these yogis perform these mystic cities. And therefore they worship them as God. Even one very popular meditation group, they would advertise that if you follow our process of meditation, and then you can learn how to levitate. And this way, by learning how to levitate, you can make a spiritual advancement. But this is simply some material science. Although one may be able to develop the ability to levitate, or to walk on water, or to perform some other activity that defies the physical laws of nature, still these activities will not be sufficient to be able to stop one from repeated birth and death. So what is the value? As long as one has to continue suffering within this material world, as long as one has to take his birth again in the material world, then what is the value of such activities? Therefore, Prabhupada is here cautioning in this purport. He said that one should understand what is the genuine Vedic science. What is a genuine method for self-realization? And he says that this example here of the sages of Naimisharanya and Sutta Goswami, this is a perfect representation of authentic spiritual science. Because the sincere hearer of spiritual knowledge If he continues to hear, then the result of that hearing is that he increases his natural attraction for loving Krishna. Right now, the living entities in the material world are covered by the influence of the external energy. And this covering has caused the forgetfulness of the living entity's relationship with the Lord. In this forgetful state, the living entity is vainly searching for some relief from his suffering. But Srila Prabhupada would often say that the only thing that is lacking within this material world is Krishna consciousness. People have forgotten. The material world is a place to forget Krishna. And if one wants to forget him, then the Supreme Lord will provide unlimited ways that one can forget him. Through the agency of this material nature. Therefore, the living entity, because of his desire to enjoy independent from Krishna, he cannot be successful to enjoy independent from Krishna unless he forgets Krishna. How can we actually justify our attempts to enjoy separate from him? Unless we try to destroy him from our memory. It is not possible in the presence of Krishna to try to enjoy separate. Because being in the presence of Krishna is just like being in the presence of the sun. Just as when the sun appears, it dissipates the darkness. And all that is not seen becomes revealed in the presence of the sun. So therefore, in the presence of Krishna, by remembrance of him, our false attempts to enjoy become exposed. And just as everything unseen becomes revealed in the presence of the sun. Therefore, the material world is a place of forgetfulness. We try to forget Krishna by absorbing our consciousness in temporary activities. We make certain objects of affection and meditate upon those objects of affection as absolute, as a means for satisfying yourself. Therefore, the difficulty in the material world is that the living entity was covered by the influence of the external energy. Can only see material forms. He identifies with these objects, material objects. And therefore, gives them different designations. Of I and mine. This is explained in the Bhagavatam to be the greatest misunderstanding. To see things in terms of I and mine. Just like in the fifth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is one verse spoken by Lord Vishabhe. Pungsa Sriyamatuni Bhavmatam Kayomityo Hiriya Grantim Ahu Atho Priyakshetra Sutapta Vittaya Janasya Mohoyam Aham Mamiti. He describes that the attraction
between the male and the female is the basic principle of material existence. On the basis of this misconception, which ties together the hearts of the male and female, one becomes increasingly attached to his body, to his property, to his wealth, to his home, to his kinsmen. In this way, one increases life's illusions. Life's illusions. And he thinks in terms of I and mine. I am the maintainer. I am the provider. I am the enjoyer. I am Indian. I am Hindu. I am Russian. I am American. These are the eyes, the false designations of the body. And everything that is within my possession is mine. This is my family. This is my country. This is my home. These are my possessions. Because the living entity sees in terms of I and mine. He can't see things as they really are. First, he sees the I separate from Krishna. He thinks I am his body. And therefore, everything that is identified with his body belongs to me. Krishna is removed. He's covered from the vision of that person, who can only see in his limited sphere of existence. Who can only see within his limited sphere of existence. In terms of this I and mine. Because he thinks that these things belong to me, he cannot see that they belong to Krishna. And because possessions are insufficient to satisfy the self, he is always thinking that I will become satisfied by increasing my quantity of possessions, by increasing this designation, and by expanding my false ego into a greater realm of existence. Therefore, everything he sees his objects to increase his sense gratification. He doesn't see them in relationship with Krishna. He sees them as potential objects to gratify himself. This is the covering of the external energy. He's thinking, yes, there is great potential. I see something that I want. I want it to be mine. Therefore, he wants to steal from Krishna. This is the forgetfulness in the material world that the living entity is constantly subjected to. And therefore, because that is their desire, Krishna gives them the facility to forget him. You want to enjoy separate from me? Okay. Now try. Make all your efforts now to increase these designations. If you lie, you can even try to become the most powerful being in this world. Try to become the biggest creator and controller. The biggest proprietor.
begin to see in very grand terms. That I am in charge of this country, this nation. In this way, the living entity within the material existence is striving to advance materially. And this striving to advance materially is born of his envy of Krishna. Because he is envious of Krishna, he wants to try to achieve the same position as Krishna. This is material life. And therefore, forgetful of Krishna's position, the living entity accepts body after body. Although he may achieve the most powerful position in this world, Krishna shows them that he cannot become God. Because he's forced to give up that position. Just like once devotees were on a walk in Sweden with Srila Prabhupada. And they were walking and there was this dog barking. And Prabhupada said that actually this dog was Nehru in his past life. Nehru, he was a big leader, in government leader in India. He was a big leader in the Indian government. But now he's simply barking in a dog's body. In other words, he was given the example. Although you may become big, big leader, what have you achieved? You must give it up. In the next life, you can be barking just like a dog in somebody's yard. So, therefore, the process of a genuine spiritual science means how to become free from this forgetfulness. How to genuinely renounce this material world. How to give up these illusory pursuits which forces us to take birth again and again and again. This is a miracle. A miracle is that when one develops the impetus to go back to Godhead, and therefore by dint of this desire, he awakens his natural love for God. Which is there within the heart. We've simply forgotten. Therefore, the process, genuine process of Vedic knowledge means to increase one's remembrance of Krishna. Just like it is given in the scriptures that the highest principle of spiritual knowledge, the highest duty of spiritual life, is to always remember Krishna. Krishna tells Arjuna, manmana bhava bhad bhakto majaji man namaskaru. He said, Arjuna, just always think of me. Worship me and offer your homage unto me. Offer your homages unto me. And surely you will come to me, of this there is no doubt. This is the highest responsibility. To always be able to remember Krishna. Because the more we remember Krishna, the more it helps us to remember that we're not the false lords of this material world. The more it helps us to remember that we're not the false enjoyers of the material world. Therefore, we have to continue to hear. And the more that we hear about Krishna from the authorized sources, then Shenvatas, Fakata, Krishna, Punya, Shavana, Kirtana, Siddhanta, Stohya, Vidani, Vidinoti, Suhrit, Sutam. The Krishna, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the Super Soul within the heart of every living being. He cleanses desire from material enjoyment from within the heart of that person who develops the urge to hear his messages, which are themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. In other words, when the message of Krishna is properly heard and chanted, it will act. It will cleanse the heart. If it's not properly heard and chanted, then although one may speak about activities related to Krishna, although one may present the message of Vedic wisdom, although one may chant so many different Vedic mantras, he may perform so many ritualistic activities, none of these things can awaken one's love for Krishna. It is not these things which actually awaken love for Krishna. One must hear about Krishna from Krishna's devotee. Without hearing about Krishna from Krishna's devotee, then even if one participates in all of these ritualistic functions, there will be no change in the heart. And people will gather to hear, and after some time they will leave, and they will go back once again to their material activities. The speaker, he will return to his material activities. And the audience returns to their material activities. Therefore, for proper Vedic knowledge to be transmitted, for Vedic knowledge to be properly transmitted, there must be both a qualified speaker and a qualified hearer. Just as Prabhupada, we often use that example, that for conception to take place, then the man must be potent and the woman must be fertile. So in the same way, for spiritual knowledge to act within the heart, the speaker must be bona fide. And the hearer must also be bona fide. They must want to hear about Krishna. That is the qualification of the audience. Just like in this assembly of the sages of Naimisharanya, Sutta Goswami glorifies the sages. Muna yat sado krishto ham bhavadir loka mangalam yat kita krishto samprasno yenatma supraseditu. He says, O sages, I have been justly questioned by all of you. All of your questions are glorious because they relate to Lord Krishna. And therefore are of relevance to the world's welfare. Only questions of this sort are capable of satisfying the self. So Sutta Goswami is offering respect to the audience. And he's offering them respect because their questions are all directly related to Krishna. They're not asking for anything else. They're not asking for some mystical display. They're not interested in elevation to heavenly planets. They're not asking for some material boon. Although so many questions are within the minds of the general populace. People have so many questions because they're in ignorance. But their questions are the sages of Naimasharanya, their questions are the most relevant. Because they're only related to Lord Krishna. Like Prabhupada gives the example that if you're in a house and it's burning down, then to ask who lit this fire is not relevant. Better to ask how to get out of the house. So in the same way, when one understands that this material world is a blazing forest fire of material existence, as long as one is in this material world, there will always be problems. There will always be sources of misery. So one should not look for the temporary solution to his problems, to how he can become happy in this material world. He should not ask questions about material prosperity. He should not ask questions about some other forms of material boons. Should only ask those most relevant questions. Because those questions which are related to Lord Krishna increase one's attachment to his lotus feet. And therefore one will not have to see birth and death again within this material world. Ayya Hariti Vaipungsam Ujan Astam Sayarasa. In the Bhagavatam, second canto, it is stated that both by rising and setting, the sun decreases the duration of life for everyone. Except one who utilizes the time for discussing the topics of the All Good Supreme Personality of God. It is simply another day closer to death. But for one who utilizes his time for increasing his consciousness of Krishna, then his life will not be decreased. The devotee who utilizes his time for increasing his consciousness and remembrance of the Lord will simply continue in this activity even after giving up his body. He enters into the eternal realm of existence and performs the same activity of engaging in glorification of the Lord. Although he may also give up this temporary body, there is no disturbance for one who is in Krishna consciousness. It is just like lightning and illumination that take place simultaneously. When there's lightning, there's simultaneously illumination. Similarly, when there is Krishna consciousness, that it is, that means simply to continue in one's devotional service. Prabhupada explains that there is no pain, there is no fear for one who is always Krishna conscious at the time of giving up his body. He is freed from anxiety because he is in full remembrance of the Lord. And he is simply thinking that that this is Krishna coming to take me home. But for those who are forgetful, for those whose consciousness is absorbed in the temporary, then this death is an abrupt termination to all of my plans. This death is an abrupt termination of all of my plans. And therefore, being so absorbed in these material designations, one has to come back and take his birth again into another sphere of designations, and where he may continue his bodily concept of life in his vain attempt to forget Krishna. So real spiritual knowledge means to simply develop this desire to go back home, back to God. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sajukabu Noi Shravanadi Sutta Chite Koriye Udoi. That pure love for Krishna is eternally situated within the heart of every living being. It doesn't come from any other source. And when he hears about Krishna, he naturally awakens to this pure love of God. Therefore, it is understood that this desire to serve Krishna is already there. But it is covered by this illusory curtain. And so we must simply bring that desire out again. Pure love for God doesn't come from any other source. It is already there within the heart of every single living being. But when he associates with devotees and hears about Krishna's pastimes and glories, then that natural desire to impose all of his affection upon one object becomes awakened within the heart. As a result of hearing about Krishna, he gives up the false affections of this material world. And develops his natural affection for loving God. Not that there should not be affection in this material world. That does not mean that there should not be affection within this material world. Certainly there must be affection. But the best way to express one's affection for all living beings is to induce them to remember their eternal relationship with Krishna. That is the highest method of worshipping Krishna. And the highest method of expressing one's love for all living beings. When a qualified speaker speaks about Krishna for this purpose, when his only interest is simply to spread Krishna's glories, he is not interested in his own fame and recognition. He does not want to travel and preach to establish his own glory. He wants to give Krishna consciousness to everyone. That is the mentality of a genuine speaker of the Bhagavatam. Is to give everyone the opportunity to remember Krishna. So that they may give up their false temporary affection in this world. And may genuinely learn how to love all living entities as parts and parcels of the Lord. And to serve all living entities by continuing the mission of the spiritual master. That if one actually tastes simply one drop of this love of Krishna, if he genuinely experiences this devotional service, then the result of experiencing one small drop of this love of Krishna will enthuse him to distribute it to others. That is the most powerful method of expressing our love. So that is the result of proper hearing. Is that when one hears properly, he wants to do something for Krishna. That is what happens. That is the miracle that takes place. That the more I hear about Krishna, the more I want to do something for him. Because Krishna is so wonderful. He's so kind. He's always thinking of our best welfare. And therefore I must do something for him. This is what must take place when the spiritual message is transmitted. This kind of change of heart must manifest. And when this change of heart manifests, then one can understand that there is a qualified speaker and a qualified hearer. So that is what the sages of Naimisharanya are describing here. They are asking for this genuine transmission of knowledge. Please tell us about the activities of Maharaj Pariksit. Please enlighten us about the activities of the Lord's pure devotees, so that we may perform a 1,000-year sacrifice for the benefit and upliftment of the whole world. The devotees are always thinking of the welfare of humanity. And therefore this 1,000-year sacrifice performed by the sages of Naimisharanya was one such sacrifice performed for that purpose. So we should also perform this sacrifice. That we should also become qualified speakers. It is our duty to become qualified speaker. Tell everybody about Krishna. Yari deka tarikaha Krishna upadesh. This is Lord Chaitanya's instructions. He says that wherever you go, whoever you meet, simply give them the teachings of Lord Krishna as they are given in the Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. Anyone can become qualified. The only qualification is that in distributing the transcendental message, that one simply distributes on behalf of his spiritual master. He simply repeats what he has heard, and then he can become qualified. If we do not speak on behalf of the parampara, if we try to become self-proclaimed spiritual leader, if we try to become a spiritual master. But if we are not subservient to the previous acharyas, then there is no effect. It cannot act upon the hearer. The power of the cyclic succession must be there. And the power of the disciplic succession means that we must represent the disciplic succession. Just like Prabhupada gives the example that if there are so many paper pieces of metal, if they're together, stuck together by magnetic force.
So,
then if they're connected, they can connect the next one. Or the same thing with electrical energy. He uses this example. If the electrical energy is connected to the source, then it becomes what the wire becomes electrified. Wire. The wire. The wire is connected to the electrical source. The wire becomes electrified. If you touch it, there is electricity because it's because it is connected. There may be so many different connections. But if each of those connections are intact, if you touch that wire, there is electricity. So in this way we must be connected. The qualification to speak is simply to speak on behalf of the previous acharyas. One who is properly connected in disciplic succession and speaks in this way, then the effect can take place. Then others can become connected. And in this way, everyone makes progress back home, back to God. This is the genuine Vedic method of giving spiritual enlightenment. And any other method should be rejected as being simply some artificial cheating process. To get something else besides love of Krishna. So, we'll end here. Hare Krishna. Is there any questions?
Guru Maharaj, скажите, если преданный, если преданный занимается оккультной мистикой, или же он достаточно регулярно читает иные священные писания, насколько это может быть благоприятно или неблагоприятно для его служения? И при том же самом, что он как бы считает это частью, составной частью преданного служения.
If a devotee is engaging some occult practice and some mystic practice, and if he engages in reading some other scriptures except of our, so how much benefit it can bring to him, and how much he can suffer because of that? If he's thinking that his practices are only parts of his devotional service.
One may think that way. But our thinking isn't reality. Our thinking is not reality. We may think it's part of our devotional service. But it doesn't mean it's devotional service. we explained this point last night.
Yes.
Devotional service means to please Krishna. And everything which is aimed at that purpose, that is devotional service. If we have some other types of attachments, and because we're too attached to give them up, then it can be very detrimental. And because if we continue to become attached to these things, then it will divert us from the path of the real devotion. Of course, we may not be able to give them up right away. And if one continues to engage in the process of devotional service by hearing from the proper scriptures, that at some point it will become very obvious that he must go one way or the other. Krishna consciousness has a way of bringing these things to the surface, bringing these attachments to the surface. Because it is the most purifying. When one is in touch with a genuine process, it's like being in contact with fire. Just like if you put butter on the fire, if it stays in the fire, then the impurities will come to the surface. Similarly, if we're in contact with a genuine process, it will bring those things that we're attached to the surface. And when they come to the surface, then we must make a choice. You want to go back to Godhead? Or you want to become an occultist or a mystic? What's your choice? So it can be very dangerous if one's thinking, well, I want to become an occultist or a mystic. Because then Krishna will say, okay. Go ahead. Yes.
There in Srimad Bhagavatam explained about three levels of planets in material manifestation. So there is explained that above the highest planets, there are the spiritual worlds. So isn't it easier to elevate to the spiritual sky from the higher material planets than from this earth? Because you said that there is no use to try to elevate to the higher material planets.
Going to the spiritual sky has nothing to do with physical proximity. You can go to the highest planet in the material world and never make it to the spiritual sky. Or you could be in the lowest, most hellish planet and go directly back to Godhead. It has nothing to do with physical proximity. One has to have qualification for entering to the spiritual sky. Without that qualification, one cannot enter. If one goes to the higher planetary systems, in fact, it could be even more difficult to go to the spiritual sky. Because in the higher planetary systems, there are much more facilities for sense enjoyment. there's much less suffering. So people might think, hey, this is not so bad. I don't mind this kind of happiness. That's not so much suffering here. But it's still temporary. Therefore, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Abrahma bhuvana loka punavatino mamu jana mamu pecha tu kantaya puna janma na vijitre, that whether you go to the highest planet in the whole universe or to the lowest planet, all the places of misery, wherein repeated birth and death takes place. So it's not that one should have to take the scenic route back to Godhead. Scenic, you know, like, you know, nice scenery. You don't know what scenery is? So scenery is like when you're driving along, and of course there is no such thing as scenery in the Soviet Union. When you're driving along the road, and you see very nice pictures, very nice pastures, and flowers, and trees, and a rainbow in the sky, and always scenery. No, if you translate it like that, nobody will know what I'm talking about. Yeah. It is not that we have to go to every planet. With the spirit of adventure. Well, let me see every place. Let me see what it's like in the higher planetary systems. One can immediately enter into the spiritual sky from any position of life if his heart is pure. That is the only qualification. And therefore, by the mercy of a devotee, wherever one is, he can go back home, back to Godhead, because he's not covering this distance by some material means. It's not like he has to take some spaceship and travel thousands of light years away, and he has to wait to get there, like a long trip from one side of the Soviet Union to the other. The example we gave before, that for the devotee, death is like lightning and illumination, like that take place simultaneously. Immediately. One is transferred back to Godhead. Yes. Well, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that both the process of Sankhya and devotional service bring one to the same goal. One process of analysis is to analyze this material world to bring one to the root of existence. Which is Lord Vishnu. The other process is when one finds the root, he waters it. So Sankhya can bring one. But this is spiritual Sankhya. It is not the material Sankhya philosophy, which is trying to analyze this material world in attempt to deny the Lord's existence. And this is the atheistic Sankhya philosophy. So we can use analysis, but by our analysis, We should come to the root of existence and water the root. If one has analytical tendencies, then let him use his analytical tendencies to study these scriptures. Don't speculate. Analyze what is here. Spiritual Sankhya means to come to the same conclusion that is already in the scripture. If we come to the same conclusion by that process of analysis, then it is beneficial. But if we come to a different conclusion, then we'll be lost. That is dangerous analysis.
Говорит о том, что начинающий преданный, он не всегда способен, но вернее, не способен быть бесполезным в служении Кришне. И когда человек понимает, что в материальном мире нет ничего благоприятного, он естественным образом стремится к освобождению. Вот в какой мере преданный может думать об освобождении, чтобы это не стало очередной приятностью, чтобы можно было...
First stage of the first, nobody really sometimes has some material motivations of devotional service. So if one realizes that so much sufferings are good here for people everywhere, can he think about liberation? Or he should
certainly one can think of liberation. Because we have some material motivations at the beginning of devotional service. And as long as we engage in the process of devotional service as a means of achieving that liberation, and as long as we engage in the process of devotional service as a means of achieving that liberation, and whatever desire there is for liberation within the heart will become purified. So if we have to use that as an impetus, then it's okay. But ultimately we must give up that desire also. Akama savakama va moksha kama udaradi. Tivena bhakti yogena yajita purusha param. That a person who has broader intelligence, whether he is filled with material desires, whether he is filled with material desires, he has no material desires, or even if he's desiring liberation, he must by all means worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the secret is just to worship Krishna. Because even if we're filled with material desires, if we serve Krishna, gradually those desires will go away. One more question. Yes.
Can one become free from the lust, during the practice of devotional service?
Yes, certainly. That lust is just simply the perverted reflection of our original love of God. Love means for Krishna. Lust means for me. So when we engage in devotional service, we are transforming that lust to the original devotion that is there. We just simply have to learn how to dovetail our tendencies. It's like in the seventh canto of the Bhagavatam. It is described that the gopis achieved their perfection of love of Krishna by lust. They were lusty for Krishna. But yet, their lust for Krishna It's the highest emblem of love of God. Because it was not material lust. It is like the difference between gold and iron. Both are metal. But there's a big difference between gold and iron. So the lust that the gopis had for Krishna is the highest perfection of love of God. Whereas lust in the material world is like iron. It is very degrading. So we have to transform that lust by dovetailing our desires for Krishna's pleasure. It's not that lust goes away. It's simply transformed to our original love for Krishna. But it takes time. It doesn't go away immediately. We have to practice. Okay. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai.